Hi, this is Paul Carey from Carey Co. Check out our latest game release, Alley Cat, on iOS and Android. And check out our website at carryco.net. Now I hand you back to Brad and the team at Tech Webcast.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and want to be in it, keep on listening, because we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech Webcast. Let's go!
Welcome to episode 384 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 2nd of July 2016. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at 12 p.m. Melbourne time. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone or Android app. Your hosts today are Brad, Jacob, and myself, Daryl. G'day, Brad.
G'day, Daryl. How are you, mate?
I'm good on a sort of a gloomy Saturday lunchtime here. It's just been drizzling rain outside and got to get out and vote a bit later, so I'll have to take the brolly with me, I think.
Good stuff, mate. Who are you going to vote for?
Oh, I don't know. I'll find out when I get there, I guess. No. It'll be interesting. Actually, it'll be interesting in our seat because we've got an independent sitting. It's already sitting independent. So who knows? It'll be probably either the independent candidate or win, or the Liberal candidate will win, because I'm in a rural seat, so it's a fairly conservative seat up this way.
What, they're going to vote for you?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm not standing.
Oh, you're not? I think you said
I'm not standing. No, there's Cathy McGowan is the independent. She's an independent. She won the seat last time round. So she won it off the Liberals last time round. So she could. It's the seat of Indi for those that follow the election. So she could. They're saying she might, you know, win it again. But if she doesn't, it'll probably be the Liberal candidate, because I said it's a fairly conservative electorate. We're up in the bush here. So
nice one.
Yeah, I don't think the Greens or the ALP or anything will have much of a chance this way.
Okay. Interesting. How's your week been, Daryl? Anything exciting happened during the week?
Nothing really exciting happened during the week. Just work it's been just work and surviving the cold weather of winter and staying out of the, you know, the rain and the frosts and the cold weather. But I'm scratching my head, but it's just been a normal sort of week. There hasn't been anything sort of leaking.
Yeah, have you came to a conclusion about your iPad yet? What are you going to do about when this iOS 10 comes out? Have you come to any?
I was actually at work. It's interesting because we've got iPads at work. Our board of management has them, and they're actually iPad second generation, so they're fairly ancient. They're older than my one. I'll have a look when iOS 10 comes out and I see how it's working and all. I may get another one. I'll get an iPad, the iPad Mini 4 or something like that. I like the big iPad Pro, but it's such a big one to carry around.
Yeah, it is.
I love the form factor of my current iPad, because I can just put it in the case and I can go down for a coffee somewhere and share out Tech Webcast or something, and I just sit in the coffee shop and do that. But the iPad, the bigger iPad, the big ones are just a bit large. I mean, it'd be great for sitting on the desk and
that's where I have mine.
Watching a movie and all that sort of stuff. And the screen is gorgeous. Because I was in Melbourne on Thursday Thursday week, and getting eye tested again, and I went to Myers, and I'm level at Myers. They've got a lot of Apple
yep.
Stuff there, phones and tablets and all that. So I was looking at it again the other Thursday.
What did you think?
They're all very nice. Mm. I mean, screens are just gorgeous. You know, when you compare it even back to my third generation iPad, the screens are just really, really, really nice. So, it'll be something for me to throw up in the air in the next few months. What I'm going to do, but the only problem is the iPads last so well.
Like my they do, and
is still solid. And I was resetting this. Believe it or not, I was resetting second generation iPads like this week. We've got some new board members in, and they needed the iPads needed to be given to them. So I had to sort of factory reset them to clear off the data from previous. And they're iPad second generations, and I updated them to 9.3.2 because some of them hadn't been updated for a while, and they still work well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, they're not as they're not as swift when you swipe or things like that, but they still work. And part of me is saying, I don't really want to get rid of it because it actually still works okay. So
yeah, I suppose. Yeah,
but I know what you're saying. The new ones are gorgeous looking. So.
Yeah, they are. They're very nice. I wouldn't go back to a smaller screen. Once I've got an iPad Pro 12.9, that's the one. That's for me. I wouldn't go back to it. I wouldn't downgrade to a smaller size. No way.
Yeah, that is the other hard thing. Once you do use a bigger screen on anything like that, it's very difficult. It's like it's the same with a phone. Once you've used a certain size phone display, and then if someone hands you an older phone with a smaller display, you look at it. Like if I look at some of the old iPhones with the smaller displays and thought, God, I couldn't go back and use that.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. It's nice. It's nice that you've got the choice.
All right, well, let us know how you go, Daryl, in the next couple of months, mate, and keep us updated with that. Jacob Jones, welcome back, mate. How's your week been? I wasn't on last week. Jake, good to have you back on, mate. Daryl, you good job, by the way, Daryl, last week, mate.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Apart from the intro, that's all good, mate. That's all part of podcasting.
I couldn't have perfection because I didn't want you. I wanted you to at least be able to come back and say, look, you could have improved on this and you could have improved on that.
Yeah, no, so, I couldn't say that.
No, I know, any joke.
I couldn't say that. No, but a good job, by the way, mate. Good job.
Thank you very much.
And Jacob, good job, by the way, last week having you on, and good to have Daryl on as a guest last week from Mega Shopper. What is it? Megashopper.com.au?
Yeah. It's
Mega Shopping Mall, what it's called?
Mega Shopping, yeah. And it was good because it's good to have an Australian. Well, we often talk about, Amazons and the big US online, distributors. It was good to have an Australian company trying to make a dint in that.
Yeah, definitely. Good to hear. Jacob, how's your week been, mate?
Rainy as hell.
You really?
We had some hailstorms very recently.
Okay, well, don't go outside.
You need to, Jacob. You need to channel all that wet weather that the east and that of the US is getting and send it to California where they've been having the forest fires.
Yeah.
It would be quite hard because
or you can just pack your bags and move and go somewhere else where it's nice.
No, I was watching the news the other night and there was parts of the US in flood, Virginia and all that, and then you look in the next section they were showing California and with these raging forest fires. And as I said the other night to someone, if they could put a big pipeline across the United States and channel all that excess water, across the states to California, that they'd be grateful for it over there, I think.
They'll be kissing our feet.
That's it. So anyway, Jake, how's your week been, mate? Any exciting happen? I know we're going to talk about a radio station here in Melbourne very shortly. Ken from PBSFM, he's the reception guy there the other day. I had to go in and pick up a prize that I won, and he actually gave us a tour. I said to Jacob, I told Jacob he was from America, and Ken gave us a tour of the station. You want to give us a quick highlights of what you seen, Jacob? There,
all I saw was a lot of computers and a lot of big ass microphones.
Yeah, and the DJ with the studios now. They have like two studios, I think, two or three studios, I think. It's a bit very big. Very big area. Very big place.
Some of the rooms look very private so they can do different shows on the network.
Yeah, very, very professional there, and check it out. If you're not in America, you can listen to it online at pbsfm.org, I think it is. pbsfm.org.
And you can listen to it on the Roku.
Exactly. Anyway, you can listen to a tune in. You can use a tune in radio or anything. Yeah, just listen to it.
That's where I listened to it. I was listening to Gold FM from Melbourne.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Anything else you want to mention, Jacob? Thanks, Ken, by the way, for the tour, mate. Shout out to Ken.
Nothing really. It's just I hope the rain calms down.
What do you want to say? What do you want to say, Ken?
You rock.
He actually had an old. He was on his laptop. He actually had one of them old MacBooks, and it's quite interesting what he was doing. And yeah, I think he does. I think he does a radio show. I'm not sure what he does there, but he was trying to do something, and pretty cool. Good on him.
No, community radio is great. I mean, it particularly too. Again, in where I live in the bush, where we struggle at times for the commercial radio to actually get a good signal. A lot of the commercial radio stations, and so having a local community radio station is really good value.
Yeah, definitely, and better. Also, it's better is that you can actually stream it as well.
You can, yeah, no, that's great. You know, to be able to stream off the net, meaning that if you are in an area where you get lousy reception, as long as you've got internet reception, you can jump online and listen.
Yep,
that's cool.
Definitely. All right, let's jump into what's that, Jacob?
I'm just saying, that's awesome.
It's very awesome.
Be nice of Ken to give us a little tour of the PBS Outpost.
What?
Outpost.
What's that mean?
Business.
Oh, okay.
That's a gaming term.
Well, we don't use that because some people don't know what that means.
That's why I explained where they work or something like that.
Wouldn't know what that means. What else has been happening? Nothing else really. That's about it really during the week. That's about it. All right, let's go to the news, Daryl, and then we'll have a chat after the news.
No worries.
Here we go.
This week's Tech Webcast News is brought to you by Furious Marketing. Need a new website for your business? Visit FuriousMarketing.com and mention the podcast to receive a discount. Now, back to you, Brad.
And here is some news. The first one is from Slash Gear, and it's the fourth, get my mouth around it, Force Touch Magic Mouse headed to Apple stores likely soon. This week, the appearance of the next generation of Apple Magic Mouse has appeared at our doorstep, metaphorically speaking. While we're not yet seeing the device in physical form, word is that another appearance of the device patent series is a sign of the approach of the device. The approach, which should hopefully be upon us very soon, this device will look and feel much similar to Apple's One physical wireless mouse, but will have abilities similar to those of the Magic Touchpad or the display on the iPhone 6. This device is, as the listing with the USPTO suggests, an input device that obtains force data related to a force applied to the input device, wherein an amount of force may be determined from the force data. Oh, that's a big mouthful. Dependent on the amount of push I push this mouse, I get a different amount of click, so to speak. So that's really something to look out for if another new mouse from Apple. The next one is from Polygon. Xbox Play Anywhere launches September 13. Xbox Play Anywhere, which delivers certain games to the Xbox One and Windows 10 PC with a single purchase, goes live on September 13. Microsoft confirmed to Polygon this week. The new program was during last month's E3 Microsoft press conference. Play Anywhere saves your progress to a single file, tracks a single set of achievements, and won't cost any more than a regular game. It also means that any DLC you purchase will be playable on both systems. This includes game add-ons, season passes, consumables, and in-game unlocks. The service requires that you have Windows 10 Anniversary Edition update on your PC, which hits on August 2nd, and the summer update on your Xbox, it'll be Northern Hemisphere summer, on your Xbox One console. It only supports the downloaded version of the games, not the disk version. While Microsoft has already listed the launch title supported by the service, they've been a bit unclear on when the service would go live. But either this week they confirmed the timing, the Windows 10 anniversary update and the related Xbox updates coming this summer. So that's really, for you gamers out there, that's really something to look forward to. This is from the Federal Trade Commission. So this would be the US Federal Trade Commission. TSR update. New banned payment methods now in effect. The FTC told companies last fall about impending prohibitions under the telemarketing sales rules, TSR, on certain payment methods that legitimate telemarketing businesses don't use, but con artists have been known to exploit: remotely created checks, remotely created payment orders, cash-to-cash transfers, and cash reload mechanisms. As of June 13, 2016, these prohibitions are in effect. There's a whole long article that goes into great more detail about it. So it looks like some of these known exploits that telemarketers were able to get away with in the United States are now no longer legal. But that document will be in the, I'm sure, in the show notes, so that those of you in the US can particularly take a good read of that. The next one is from Mashable Australia. Facebook's latest features helps you raise money for your favourite charity. Facebook just made it a lot easier for users to raise money for the causes they care about. Several months after the social network launched a new fundraiser feature for non-profits to collect donations, Facebook announced it has expanded the tool to individual users. Starting Thursday, users in the US can create dedicated fundraising pages to raise money for verified non-profits. The tool is now available to 1% of US users. Standard for new Facebook's products in order to gather feedback and make sure there aren't any bugs, but it will roll out to all US users in the coming weeks. The new fundraisers are the latest feature from Facebook's Social Good team, which officially launched in September 2015 and is the fourth force behind tools like Safety Check and Amber Alerts. So that if you're in the US at the moment and you want to raise money for your favourite charity, that's something to look out for. And finally, from Boing Boing, Spotify threatens to report Apple to competition regulators over App Store rejection. Apple has rejected Spotify's latest app for inclusion in the iOS App Store, citing its rules against app vendors processing their own payments. Apple requires software vendors to pay to use Apple's own payments processors, which collect hefty commissions in their apps. Spotify's general counsel, Horacio Guerrero's, sorry, I'm pronouncing his name wrong, has written to Apple's general counsel, Bruce Sewell, to complain about the action, saying it raises serious concerns under both US and EU competition laws. He added that it continues a troubling pattern of behaviour by Apple to exclude and diminish the competitiveness of Spotify on iOS and as a rival to Apple Music, particularly when seen against the backdrop of Apple's previous anti-competitive conduct aimed at Spotify. We cannot stand by as Apple uses the App Store approval process as a weapon to harm competition. The letter was distributed to members of US Congress, including Elizabeth Warren, who recently gave a major speech criticising Apple, Google, Amazon and other tech giants for non-policytic anti-competitive practices. Apple's iOS platform uses DRM to prevent its customers from choosing to install software from third parties under Section 1201 of the DMCA. Reconfiguring your iOS device to use a third-party store is a felony punishable by 5-year prison sentence and a $500,000 fine for a first offence. International laws promulgated by the US Trade Representatives mirror these provisions. So that's an interesting development between Spotify and Apple. And that is the news.
Interesting news topics there, Jacob. Thanks for putting them in, mate.
Yeah, thanks, Jacob. They're great.
What's your any opinion on them stories, Darryl?
More.
What? No, go on.
No, it's talking about the Facebook app called Paper.
Yeah, that's leaving, isn't it? That's ending very soon.
Yeah, July 29th.
Yep.
Oh, that obviously didn't work for Facebook. Yeah,
it never came. That app never came to Australia as well, Paper.
It was really just, I think, in the US. Yeah. So obviously it didn't get traction over there, so they never rolled it out, and now they're giving it the flick.
All right. Any views on them stories there?
The Spotify Apple one is really interesting because you've got sort of two issues that have sort of been used as one. You've got the issue of the iTunes store, where if you're an app developer and you've got a paid for app, you can't set up, say, a website, for example, and get people to pay for things on the website and then give the app away free, because Apple then says, hey, where's our 30%? And so that's like Spotify, where you sign up for a Spotify account, but the app is free. So that's why Apple has blocked, apparently, an updated Spotify app. But then Spotify is using the fact that, of course, Apple's got Apple Music in claiming that Apple is doing this to damage Spotify's ability, you know, to make money.
Yep.
And so it's an interesting, because if Apple didn't have its own music outfit, it would be saying to Spotify, well, look, you know, you're breaching our terms and conditions here. But now that it's moved into music, it's going to be interesting to see, because it sounds like it's going to go to court at some stage, and it'll be interesting to see whether they consider that anti-competitive on Apple's behalf.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Good point. Any other views,
Darryl? Well, Facebook, to help raise money, hopefully that will roll out globally, but I guess it takes a while for these sort of things to happen, because I think that's if you're wanting to help a charitable organisation out, then I think that's great that, you know, so many people use Facebook, that if you can, you know, set up a page for your local charity or something like that and people pay you money, that's certainly valuable. The Federal Trade Commission, that's a fairly sort of hefty document, but obviously for those in the US, if you've been getting exploited by telemarketers using, you know, bad methods to do it, then there's been a whole area now where the Federal Trade Commission has said no and has banned these payment methods, so which is anything good to help protect consumers. The Xbox One is really cool. If you've got an Xbox One and you've got, you know, Windows 10, that, you know, if you've downloaded a game and you'll be able to play it on both devices, plus if you then get the DLC or add-ons to your games, you're not having to then buy it for the Xbox and then buy it for the PC if you want to run, like, you know, Skyrim or something, you want to run it on both devices. I think that's really good for gamers. I'm sure Jacob will be rubbing his hands together with that one. Yeah, that's my take.
All right, good stuff, mate. Let's go to Jacob. What's your view on them stories, mate?
What I was saying, as Daryl was talking, I was like, I'll be being a little greedy. Because I've got so many games on my Xbox account, I push it through, I'm like, oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Well, you run Windows 10. So once you get the anniversary edition of Windows 10 in August, then hopefully some of the games that you've got on your Xbox, you'll be able to play them on Windows 10 and plus the DLCs and stuff.
Well, a lot of them might stream.
Yep. Yeah.
Did you get that information about Channel 9 and the Win 9 down your way? They were getting an update for... Oh,
yeah, it all swapped over this week, which was confuses no end. For those, you know, like, because of what we use it in the bush, we have the affiliate networks. We don't get signals directly from, say, Melbourne.
Yep.
Nine, well, Win TV, which was affiliated with Nine, is now affiliated with 10.
Yep. Wow, and, really? Jeez, that's some level, huh?
Yeah, they've gone to 10, and the 10 and Southern Cross Media, which was affiliated with 10, is now 9. It's gone to 9.
Wow.
Prime, which was affiliated with 7, has stayed the same, so there's no problem there. The interesting thing was it was okay where I am, but in Western Australia, for example, Win went off the air, and I don't know whether it's still back on the air because they hadn't signed an agreement.
Oh, okay.
And they went on in the West, Win had disappeared completely.
Yep.
They hope in the next few days it'll be signed, but it's all this jockeying.
Yep.
To do that, yeah.
Now, just a tip. Now, like, if you're not a fan of them channels where you live, You can actually get the 9 Now app, the 7 Plus app, ABC iView.
You can do it on the internet, yeah. You can stream.
Yeah, you can stream on them live channels now. 7 Plus on the Apple TVs, you got an update the other day. You can actually watch the whole 4 channel 7.
I mean, the main thing with the affiliate, the only reason, it's historic why we have the affiliates, because in the old days, the networks didn't have the reach, that, like as far as transmitter reach, and so you had the affiliates, and then they'd had the transmitter, and they'd sort of, and it's local advertising. So for example, we get ads for sheep dip and farming utensils and various other things here that would not be ads in broadcasting to Melbourne.
Yeah. With the Apple TV app on the 7 Plus app, you can actually just put the Melbourne's postcode in, and you can actually watch the Melbourne channel 7s.
I think that's going to be the future because it's all linked to, you know, currently it's linked to having transmitters, and we've got a transmitter on the hill outside of town here, which of course the stations share. But my belief is I think what's going to happen in the next 12 or next year or two is the commercial networks, the big networks like in Melbourne and that, will buy out the affiliates.
I hope so.
Affiliates will just disappear. And I think the only reason it hasn't happened so far is there's still media laws which prohibit them doing that. But the word is that's changing. The government's going to change those old laws. And I think you'll find maybe a year or two, you'll find the affiliate networks will just disappear. They'll, like 7 will swallow up one, and 9 will swallow up one, and 10 will swallow up one, and we'll just get broadcasting as if we're down in Melbourne.
What HD channels do you get on your Freeview?
I have to have a look now because it's changed. I haven't had a chance. It only changed on the midnight before the 1st of July, so it's only just swung over. So that was the other issue we had, whereas in Melbourne, some of the networks would put out new HD channels, but the affiliates wouldn't do that. And so we ended up with standard definition on some of our stations, whereas in Melbourne you were getting high def.
Yep.
So that was another thing that was frustrating people in the bush.
Yep.
That, you know, and all is swapping over. Not that you have to swap anything, it's just you have to remember now on your remote.
You don't really need, just depending on what people want to do, but you can just go out and buy the Apple TV 4, and all the apps are on the Apple TV now. You can watch 9 Now Live, you can watch 7.
I think, once the NBN rolls out and more people in the bush have got high-speed internet, then you'll find, that more and more. And, I mean, look, a few years ago, if this had happened, I'd have been jumping up and down, oh, my God, what's happening? I don't watch that much TV on TV now, and I don't watch much commercial TV.
Yeah, same.
Like you, I use the apps, and I use iView, and I use SBS as on demand, or that. And so it doesn't affect me. And the ABC didn't change, and SBS didn't change, of course. And so it didn't affect me. But you're right, it's going to be a combination of things. When the NBN rolls out, more people are going to have smart TVs and Apple TVs and things, and they're going to get the apps.
Yeah.
Or the other thing is, the affiliate networks will eventually disappear because the laws will change, and the big networks will just say, "Look, we'll buy you out."
That's what Foxtel needs to do. I mentioned this to Foxtel yesterday on Twitter, and they, I don't think they understand that, you know, streaming is the future, you know, and a lot of people stream stuff now. You know, they don't watch live TV anymore.
Well, how often, if you've got friends and you might have said to them, "Oh, did you sit down and watch XYZ program last night?" Now, once upon a time, they're, "Oh, yeah, at 8 o'clock, we're all sitting," and you used to talk about it.
Yep.
Now, when you say, "Oh, no, knock, I was out, I'm going to watch it on catch up tomorrow night, or I've recorded it on my, you know, DVR and I'm going to watch it, or I've done something." The idea of that you all sit down now at one time of the night watching something is gone.
Yeah, it has. And I watch stuff on my iPad. My dad watched stuff in the lounge room. If I want to watch something on the iPad, I just go on the iPad. And
we had the Chromecast the other night, and I was at mum and dad's, and you know, we missed watching, you know, Rake and a couple of things. And so I just opened up mum's computer, the Chromecast is on the TV. Got a Chromecast across.
Yep.
A Chromecast iView to their TV, and away we went, and we watched when we felt like it.
Yeah, very simple. We're very, very easy. And I think Foxtel have got the idea so far. We're streaming with the catch up anytime on their Foxtel Go app, but I think it needs to be on Apple.
Of course, you've got Stan, and Netflix. And you've got, and so that means again, you've got, I mean, people and the younger generations now, they're going to look back at the way we used to watch television when I was a youth, and we used to just sit down, and if you missed the program, you missed the program. Yeah. You never saw it until it was repeated.
Yep.
They're going to laugh. They're just going to say, how could you possibly have been in that environment? Because they're going to have it all at their fingertips. They're just going to watch it when they feel like it. And they're not, and it's going to be a real challenge for old media, the commercial networks. It's going to be a big challenge. How are they going to keep people watching? How are they going to continue with ads when people just watch it when they feel like watching?
Yeah, true.
So it's going to be it's a big test for the media, a big shakeout for the for the media in the next few years. It'll be interesting.
Very interesting. Jacob, what's your view on that?
Since I'm not in Australia.
But yeah, but give your opinion on America. Like, what's the big deal over in America at the moment? Do people that watch a lot of catch-up TV shows, or they still watch live TV? That's something. Or what's the deal?
If you want to watch them, you just watch it on demand.
That's what I'm talking about. What's the, for example, your mum? What does your mum do? Does your mum watch live TV, or?
Well, she records it.
So she records it, and then she watches it.
Yep, she has 2 million things on her box.
Okay, interesting.
So, I mean, the US in a lot of cases is a bit ahead of Australia when it comes to, they've had Netflix and catch-up stuff probably longer than we have here. So you get a bit of an idea of what might be going to happen in Australia by what's happening currently, in the US. And what are people doing, Do they watch do they sit down at 7 o'clock at night and watch the news like they used to do, or do they not bother anymore, or do you get all your news from online sources? There's all that sort of stuff. Whereas once upon a time, everyone got sat down at whether it was 7 o'clock and, oh yes, the news is on now, we're all gonna sit down and watch what's happened during the day. Well, now that you just open your phone and you find out what happens during the day.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's a wrap. Anything else, Darryl, you want to report on it before we end the episode?
No, it was actually just a happy 4th of July to everybody in the US. It's Independence, I think, Monday, US time. Yep. It'll be Independence Day, so happy 4th of July, long weekend to everybody over there and to Jacob over there to celebrate with the fireworks or whatever they do over there. Nothing to report, just a good show, some good meaty topics.
Yeah, definitely. Good information. Good. And shout out to Jody for sending the fireworks videos in the group chat.
Happy 4th of July.
Yeah, happy 4th of July, Jade. Jody and Jacob and Steve and anyone else out there that
and my
is
brother and sister-in-law and my niece and nephew who are in California. Happy 4th of July to them too.
All right. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Oz and Tech Webcast. What about you, Daryl? Where can they get
you? They can get me at LearnScape on Twitter and at Daryl Hunt and Google+. I'm still there.
Say the joke again. People love the joke, I think.
Oh, the joke about I'll shut the door on the way out and turn off the light. But no, I'm still there. I must get back and post a bit more on Google+ because I've been neglecting it a little bit over the last few weeks.
Mm. All right. Jacob, what about you, mate?
Well, I was wanting to say about the Force Touch mouse.
Yep.
So are you going to get the new one when it comes out?
I probably will, yeah.
Is it going to be like the one you have, rechargeable?
I think so, yeah. I hope so, yeah. I'm sure it would be. I'm pretty sure it would be just the same design, and it will just have that feature built into it, I suppose.
Yeah, hopefully they don't, give you the one that you just... It just eats batteries.
No, I hope not. We'll have to see.
Because battery packs these days are upwards like $15.
A lot of money.
Just for like 8.
Right. Okay, mate, we can get hold of you on Twitter, Jacob.
Jazzbot326691Z.
Did you enjoy the show, mate?
Heck yes.
All right, Daryl, what about you, mate?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a good meaty episode. It was a good meaty topics and social media, what's happening in TV and all that sort of stuff. Stuff that we're going to be talking about for a long time to come, I think.
And putting Daryl on his toes. Who's the guest for next week?
Oh, I'll have to look it up.
I know who it is. I'm just testing you.
Yeah, no, I'll have to look up the email.
It is Dr. Kiki.
Oh, Dr. Kiki, yay. Yeah. I knew, the 9th.
That's it.
I knew the 9th of July because, she's going to be fantastic.
Yep.
Scientist, you know, This Week in Science and all that sort of stuff. It's an episode not to be missed.
Exactly. Don't miss this episode. It's going to be a good show. We probably won't even have any news stories. That's going to be...
No. I think Dr. Keehy will be able to... will keep us, our minds ticking over for the podcast.
Exactly. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Jacob. Daryl, good show, guys.
Great show. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha, stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah. Tech Webcast. Ha, ha. Tech Webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer!